Now, your host, Michael Cohen, with the Capital City Recap on more compelling talk radio, 1320 WILS.
And welcome back to the program. I'm Michael Cohen on 1320 WILS. It's the biggest city in Michigan, and it's apparently in big trouble. The city of Detroit facing a massive budget deficit, and both city and state officials are concerned that it may not find a way to balance its budget. To talk about the situation, I'm joined by Dave Littman, a senior economist with the Mackinac Center for Public Policy. Welcome to the program, Dave.
Thank you, Michael.
Now, Michigan Governor Rick Snyder was recently quoted as saying that Detroit city officials have, quote, a relatively short time before he will need to take action when it comes to assigning an emergency financial manager. Why is there such urgency here?
Well, because it's not a sudden problem. This is something I've watched, certainly in my full career as a full-time employee in the city of Detroit, beginning in 1967. The tax base has been shrinking, going on 40, 50 years, and the city government, bureaucracy, union wages and benefits, especially benefits, have done nothing but increase in the face of a shrinking tax base. So it's now or never. You're not going to get another chance. It's better to have essentially someone come in and manage the finances because Detroit has been given so many opportunities and has been fed subsidies from the state, the outstate taxpayer, for dozens of years. And it's got to come to an end at some point because the state's in difficulty. That's why it's urgent to do it now.
How big of a financial hole is the city of Detroit in right now, and what would it take for it to actually balance its budget?
Well, that's a very good question. It's about $100 million out of whack as a run rate on the deficit. But when you look at the accumulating debt that has to be repaid and the interest it'll take to do that, you're looking now at upwards somewhere between $400 and $800 $1 million of debt. It's staggering.
Now, what are the actions then that you think would have to be taken by city officials to avoid an emergency financial manager? Where would the cuts have to be made?
Well, they have to be made both short-term and long-term. You have to farm out. You've heard these words come up. We looked at this 20-some-odd years ago with the Heartland Institute, another think tank, and we wrote papers on this, very extensive papers by expert people. And at that time, we recommended upwards of $100 million savings easily. Today, those have to be trimmed. There are too many city employees, bureaucrats, compared to the tax base. But more importantly, the real, if they want to preempt an emergency financial manager, they have to look at and abrogate some of those union health care and pension contracts. Those are your legacy costs that no longer can be paid.
What are the chances then? I mean, union officials must be aware of this, of the circumstance here, and they must know that if an emergency financial manager comes in, they'll be faced with an even harsher reality that if they don't negotiate with city officials. Are they not doing that?
They don't care. That's a bluff. What they say is even if we have to get along with 10 employees, and if they're all earning essentially nearly the entire gross product of the state, it's worth it. The idea is to maintain power, and even if they lose members, we saw that in the private sector. We saw it with GM, with Ford, with Chrysler, and many other of the suppliers. If they're unionized, the whole idea is to maintain some vestige of power and at the highest possible benefits per employee. And they don't care what the productivity or what the market is saying in terms of whether that's a long-term reality. There's an old expression. The expression is you can ignore reality, which is as Detroit has been doing, but you can't ignore the consequences of ignoring reality, which is where we are today.
But if a financial manager comes in, wouldn't he or she have the power then to completely wipe out the union contracts with the city?
Well, when you say the entire contract, the parts that have no reality any longer, where the productivity isn't there and where the claim for benefits exceeds by double, triple those that are received by the private sector that are paying the bill. The private sector is moving. They're voting with their feet. They have been for many, many years. I'll give you an example, because it's not just the current administration by any means or the city council. It's been going on. I recall when Mayor Archer came in, we talked, and it was his opinion that the city's population, this wasn't that long ago, was just about 1,100,000. I said, Mr. Mayor, that's not true. Detroit has less than 950,000 people left in it. He said, well, that's not what I've been told. Well, there are a lot of things that people are being told that haven't been true, but we're finding out now that the day of reckoning is upon us.
I'm talking to Dave Littman, a senior economist with the Mackinac Center for Public Policy. And now, Dave, Detroit Mayor Bing came out and said that the state owes the city $220 million in revenue sharing funds after the city agreed to lower its income tax rate in 1998. Is he right about that assertion?
No, he's not correct, and I'll tell you why, because I followed this intimately, and I did consult with the city council and with the budget at those times. The agreement was 0.1% decline was a way of getting Detroit more competitive per year, but there was a stricture in there, unless there was some, it was pretty vague and amorphous, unless there was some financial problem or the tax base looked like it were shrinking. And so they stopped that many years ago. And now they want a refund. Well, they don't get refunds for things they should have done and didn't do, and that is make Detroit more competitive.
And give me a sense of what are going to be some of the most predictable things the emergency financial manager will do as specifically as you can.
Well, I can't tell you what they're going to do. I know what they should do, and that's get those elements in the budget that are growing fastest that cannot be paid for, and those are the union contracts for benefits in particular. And that's not just true of the city, by the way, but those are the things that will have to be addressed first off. But, you know, it's up to the people. If they really want those kinds of benefits, then, of course, the obverse is the layoffs, and the layoffs will be horrendous. And with that will go a rationalization of whatever services a government should provide, namely the priorities, which is the protection of life and property.
So we're looking at a situation then when an emergency financial manager may need to decide then to change the contracts or to basically restructure them to the point that the workers are getting paid a lot less. What do you expect?
Not necessarily. They may be getting paid more, but the benefits won't be out of line with what the tax base can afford. Not only that, but you certainly have to go gung-ho with combinations of services with other communities if you're going to survive. And the sales of properties, so you see the lighting or water, whatever it is, that has to go to the private sector. That's how you create jobs, too, and renew the tax base. You start restoring properties that are vacant to incentives where people and tax base can begin to restore itself in Detroit. Otherwise, you're going to have a vacant city or one that's taken over by a county or by the state.
Is the outlook for Detroit the next 3-5 years a pretty grim one?
Yes. Unequivocally, because the business climate in the U.S., in the state, and in the city are not productive of growth. And they actually are inimical to the flexibility of labor and capital, or the incentives to have firms move here or expand here. And without that, you don't get the employment, and you don't get the tax base. So you don't get the government revenue or the services that we used to have. It's a pitiful situation, knowing that we have the technology and we have the organizational skills to defeat this pessimism and to turn what looks like a peril into a great economic promise.
From what I know, Mayor Bing said he himself could be and would be a good emergency financial manager for the city. Some have said no way. What is your view on him stepping into that role?
Well, there has been a little time that's gone by to show me that was the motto in Missouri, you know, show me. And that's really what it takes. And the show me in this case looks like, as much as he'd like to do it, he's up against a horrendous power of vested interests. And again, the only way to have a countervailing power is to have the state step in with an emergency financial manager. Now, the threat just isn't going to work any longer. They'll come out with some compromise, which is some consent decree. It's going to miss hitting the major problems of the unaffordable contracts that you have with too many city employees.
What's your guess of how soon we'll see an emergency financial manager brought in?
Well, in the Wall Street Journal, I said within 4 months. I think it's a lot sooner than that.
I see. Well, the clock is ticking down, and I'm guessing at this point there's no real action being taken within the city. So it sounds
no, like... and each that's a good point, Michael, because every moment that goes by puts us farther behind and more difficult, a wider and deeper hole from which to climb out of.
Well, we've yet to see how this will turn out, but it sounds like Governor Snyder is ready to take action, and we'll see how things unfold. David Littman, senior economist with the Mackinac Center for Public Policy. Dave, thank you very much for joining me.
And thank you. Happy Thanksgiving.
You too, and we'll be right back with more. I'm Michael Cohen. This is 1320 WILS.
Big Bang Theory is on Fox 47 five nights a week. We're celebrating with an invitation to Go Geek. Go Geek and Fox 47 will geekify your house. You can win this superlative geek package of a huge 3D TV, a surround sound system, a Blu-ray player, a new iPad, iPad sound system, an iPod, Batman sheets, a Big Bang clock, on and on it goes. To win, watch Big Bang Theory and Fox 47 News at 10 tonight. Watch for the Go Geek symbol. Go to fox47news.com, tell us what it is, and Go Geek.
And tonight.